The Church Media Podcast, episode 140, How to Tell Compelling Stories with Brian Mann, part two. Let's do it.
Hey there. Welcome to the Church Media Podcast.
The definitive podcast for helping you create dynamic experiences and build solid media production teams at your church.
We're bringing you knowledge and insight from top media professionals from around the world.
Useful, practical content in the areas of live production, design, leadership, digital communications, and more.
The show notes for this episode and all archive episodes of the show are available online now at the Church Media Podcast.com. And now, broadcasting from the ministry headquarters of 1230 Media, here's your host, Church Media Coach Carl Barnhill.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Church Media Podcast. I'm Carl. This is the podcast for helping you create dynamic worship services and events. We like to use the term experiences. We help you transform the worship experiences at your church. We also strive to help you build and maintain solid, thriving volunteer teams at your church, specifically in the area of production, those executing your audio, video, lighting, and other production elements on the weekend. So before we get to the content of this week's episode, I want to encourage you guys to check out the Church Media Facebook group. It's a closed group that you can join to connect and network with other church media guys. We post our blog posts and podcast episodes there as well. Lots of other church media directors and pastors share tools, ask questions, share designs, and more. All you have to do is search the Church Media Facebook group on Facebook today to start diving into the community. And we have some really exciting things planned for the group in the coming weeks, including a brand new podcast, For You, By You. More details are coming soon on that. All right, this week on the show, I'm going to share part two of my interview with Brian Mann. We're wrapping our discussion on how to tell compelling stories. It's coming your way after this. Hey guys, I want to take a quick minute and tell you about an exciting marathon month on our blog and podcast. During the entire month of May, my good friend Steve Dirks will be your teacher as we take a deep dive into ProPresenter. Steve is on staff at Shandon Baptist Church in Columbia, South Carolina. He has created an extensive ProPresenter masterclass and is going to share the content from his class with us on our 1230 platforms. Our blog this month will feature five articles giving you in-depth training with Steve on the software. So every Thursday during the month of May, we'll be releasing those. And for the next 3 weeks on the podcast, starting next Monday, Steve will be sharing that same content for us, and we'll be discussing it together in more detail. Steve actually came over to the studio, and we had a blast hanging out and talking through his course. If you don't have ProPresenter at your church, don't worry. The principles can apply to any presentation software. We'll be focusing more on ProPresenter, but I still want you to listen as you can learn a ton and get some great ideas for your team. ProPresenter Masterclass with Steve Dirks, all this month on the blog at 1230.media/blog. And 3 weeks on the podcast, you can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or listen on our website at thechurchmediapodcast.com. That's thechurchmediapodcast.com.
This is an exclusive interview from the Ministry of 1230 Media. Here is Church Media Coach Carl Barnhill.
All right, so let's talk about capturing the story. Let's move from kind of getting the story or finding the story to capturing it. So what's the best methods to getting organized before shooting an interview? Now, we're specifically talking about mainly testimonial type pieces. So how do you get organized? What's the best ways?
We always start with having people write their story out. To me, in my experience anyway, I don't know how this has been for you. When you hear a story, someone just sort of shares it, it's exciting, but a lot of times that story will shift and change, and you'll hear something new every time you hear it. So if you hear it like kind of third person, sometimes it's like, oh, I didn't realize that was part of the story, or you know, going a different direction than we thought. So we always have people write a story out. And that gives it kind of a beginning, a middle, and an end. And then from that, once we've kind of decided, like, yeah, I think this feels like us, this seems like a something that our church would really resonate with, we actually kind of use, and this is somewhat technical, but we kind of use story structure to start mapping out that story. So, you know, if your listeners are familiar with story structure and screenwriting or really any kind of storytelling, you start with exposition, which is just an introduction to the main character, inciting incident, which is, you know, the second part, which is this is the conflict of the story, something falls apart. Then there's rising tension, which is the third part of a story, which is, you know, something goes wrong and our character's trying to control things on their own, it doesn't work. And then there's the moment of truth, which is usually, for our purposes, kind of when God enters the story. Then there's falling tension, which is God starts to move in a way that only he can and change either a situation or a perspective, and then resolution. So that's really technical, but six-part story structure. If we start sort of looking at the story and start saying, hey, this part seems like it's introducing us to who this person is, and that's important because we need our audience to care. We need them to root for the hero of the story. We need them to understand who they are and where they come from. And then we need to clearly sort of show what went wrong. And then through the story, we need to kind of see where God starts to do what only God can do. And so that's been super duper helpful for our team to start to see how do we want to kind of map this thing out. Now, for me, I think there's always this balance between being too formulaic and being too loose. So I think that's a
good, yeah.
That's a tension, you know what I mean? But you can get too heady about it and too structured. For me, I really love being as prepared as possible, but then going in and being willing to kind of lean this way or lean that way, or ooh, that's interesting. Let's spend more time on this. But in terms of prepping for a story, I like us all to kind of know where it starts, what happens in the middle, what that conflict is, and then how God shows up and addresses that. So that's kind of what our team uses.
So you mentioned this a little bit, but what are some of the best ways to prep for an effective interview? You mentioned kind of mapping out the structure, but maybe how do you prep the person, or how do you prep to interview your subject?
Sure. Yeah. And again, all of that structure stuff, that's for our team. We don't do that. We don't pull people into that. That would get, I think, a little bit tedious. For them, it's mostly what they need to know before we have an interview. And for us, we like to meet together. We like to get to know the person who's, you know, we're going to be filming. We like to, even if we can meet together a couple times, sometimes that's not feasible time-wise, but we want to get to know them and not just their story. It's not a transactional kind of thing. We want it to be a conversational thing, because what we're asking them to do usually is be really vulnerable. And most people will not go there and be vulnerable if they don't trust you, and they can't trust you unless there's some sort of relationship. So that's really kind of the first step, is just really getting a chance to know the person. And then when we get to an interview, it's just the stuff they need to know. When, you know, when's it going to be? You know, what do I wear, and kind of what do I expect? And again, I think this is just part of the trust building process, because it's intimidating. And I think it's a good process every once in a while for us video guys to have to be on the other side of the camera every once in a while. You know, it's almost the ultimate revenge. I've had to do video stuff before, and I'm just like, oh, this is so hard. I've been asking people to do this and be natural and cry and, you know, share the hardest thing you've ever been, like, through with the whole church. That's a really intimidating thing. And so my instinct is always to try to build trust and kind of take some of the terror away of lights and cameras. And I think just letting them know what they need to know. And then, you know, what to expect on set, how many people are going to be there, especially if, you know, we're coming to your home. We don't give people questions ahead of time. Yeah, I don't think that's an either or, but for us, we found that it's better if we can give them a sense of what we're going to cover, but not get too formulaic about it. So,
Yeah, I totally agree with that. In fact, when you were talking about prepping or having them write out their story, I think that's important. And I think that, you know, I could go either way on that. But yeah. I agree with you to not provide them with every question or everything that we're going to discuss, because it can be very robotic or it can be very scripted. They've thought too much about their answer opposed to a natural conversation.
If you're in church, you kind of know what this is. You know what I mean? Like, you've seen, how many stories have you seen in church at this point?
Right.
So I think, you know, if they know too much about, like, where we're headed, I think it can just, like you said, it could be very scripted. I also think, too many of us are on script on Sunday mornings anyway. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's tough to be real in church. And so if we really want to get to a more vulnerable, painful thing, I think it's best if they're willing to do that on their own. And if they know all of the different plays and what you're going to ask and not going to ask, I think sometimes, like you said, it's a little more stilted. So, we try to aim for natural. But again, on the other side of that tension is, like, we don't want to just land on people and totally shock them and have them cry and be like, all right, tell us more about that. Like, we need to emotionally care for and pastor the people that we're, you know, that we're telling their story, because ultimately they are more important than this piece of content. So I think it's, you know, it's always a tension to manage.
All right, what are some things to do pre-interview to make sure that you're getting what you need?
Pre-interview, sometimes, and this is sort of developed over years, and we're not always fastidious about the pre-interview. A lot of times, if it's somebody we know well or someone who, you know, is kind of more in a leadership role in the church, we won't quite do this much prep. But especially for somebody who, you know, this is the first time they've ever gone on camera, or this is the first time they've ever shared their story, we try to sort of have a little pre-interview before we get on set. And it's mostly just, again, to build relationship and trust. And so some of the stuff I share with people, especially if I'm the interviewer, is that I'm here for them, that they're not alone in this, that, you know, we've covered you in prayer. We want this to be a conversation. So kind of prep them on, you know, how this is going to go down, how you're, you know, just don't look at me, don't look at the cameras. Don't feel like you have to say everything perfectly. This is not a speech. You know, we can edit things. If you say something and you're not comfortable with it later, you can always tell us. We'll cut it out. You know, just kind of essentially kind of establishing that safe zone where they're going to be able to share. One really technical thing that helps is that we ask people to rephrase our questions into responses.
Right.
That really helps an editor later.
Yes, it
you
does.
You have a, like, complete sentence. We also try to steer away, you know, against any kind of questions that are just yes or no answers. And just kind of keep that fluid conversation. And then we try to give them a couple, you know, ideas of how we're thinking of using the story. Sometimes we totally know, sometimes we're not 100% sure yet. But we want them to kind of feel like, you know, as they're releasing this thing to us and we kind of now have it on camera, right? That's kind of on the public record now. So again, that's just part of that trust building. And then we always pray. I think just because I think there's when we invite the Spirit to be part of the thing that we're doing, I think it just makes us much more aware that this is not only content, this is not only a movie, you know, that we're making or a story we're telling. This is really what we're hoping happens, is spiritual connections. We want people to be set free, when they hear truth. And so that's what we're aiming for. So I always try to pray with folks, and let them know that, you know, we feel like this is something we're excited for them, but that we're also walking with them. So just stuff along those lines. And I think, again, we don't, you know, we don't do the therapy session for people who are very camera, you know, camera savvy and they've done this before. But I think especially for people for whom this is their first time, we want them to know that this is, you know, we've got their best interest in mind. And that usually helps us. But by the time we get to the interview, kind of have a little bit more of rapport and lets it be more of a conversation that way.
Let's move to sharing your story. Okay, so give us some post-production tips. What are some things when you're in your edit bay putting the story together, what are some things that you know you want to keep in and some things that you know must go? Like, what are you looking for a powerful edit?
Yeah. The first thing I usually do, and again, this is like took me a long time to actually start doing this, because I usually want to sit down and just start, you know, working. I discovered years and years ago that when I'm on set, even if I'm not running a camera or listening to audio or looking at lights, I'm not probably hearing everything the person shared, because I'm in producer brain. I don't know if you get producer brain too, but it's just, you know, you're like, oh, there's a plane going overhead. Oh, you know, the sunlight just changed or whatever. And, you know, you kind of just takes you out of the moment. So the first thing I do is I try to listen through the entire story without any editing, just sort of like play it and listen to it, try to respond to it. And in that way, I'm almost kind of relearning the story. So that's something I try to do. And again, that took me a while. That was a discipline I actually had to learn, because I'm like, there's no time. We got to get this done. But I actually make much better editing decisions, I found, if I listen to it. So I listened to it through the first time. And then again, I kind of go back to that story structure that we talked about earlier. We were prepping the interview questions. It helps me in post to kind of figure out, okay, where are we starting this thing? You know, how do we sort of figure out who this person is? How do we figure out, you know, what was the inciting incident, the conflict, the phone call, the whatever it was that they weren't expecting and caused conflict? And start to map out that six-part story structure. And then as I listen back, I start kind of making notes. I use stickies. So I'm like, okay, here's kind of, you know, lead up, here's the conflict. And to me, it kind of helps me figure out not only what to keep and what to get rid of, but also what the most kind of effective order is. Because for an audience, they haven't heard this thing. They haven't heard the 30-minute version or the half, you know, the 45-minute version that I have. This is all new information for them. And so I think assembling and even kind of sometimes reordering some things is really, really helpful. So then that's when I'll start kind of cutting things and putting things in a specific order. And to me, and this is just kind of how I work too, it also helps me to audition like a music track or two, especially if I'm kind of looking for what I think is going to work really well. Once I start cutting, I like to be listening to music, because to me it already starts to help set the tone for the pacing and for how this thing is going to sort of feel. So yeah, that's my starting point.
Yeah, that I agree. That's the first thing that I look for. One of the first is the music piece, cut the music first, and then cut the story based on the music, so I can kind of feel it almost. Okay, so what are some things that you add to your edit to make it more interesting, or maybe some visuals that you add to the piece? Talk to me about B-roll or motion graphics or things like that.
Sure. Well, I just to resonate with what you said, I think music kind of sets the tone for the whole thing. I think in some stories, not all, but I think some sound design too can be really helpful. Mm. You know, it sort of helps draw you in and kind of gets you beyond the sort of the one person on the couch and the B-roll, and kind of back and forth and back and forth. Sound design is one of those great tools to sort of add an element, especially in filmmaking. But yeah, B-roll and visuals, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can do B-roll. You can do a lot of storytelling in your imagery, or you can kind of cut away to specific shots at specific times. And I think B-roll is kind of part art, part science. I don't know how you kind of approach it, but there's a feel to it. You know, we talk in the book a little bit about three different ways that you can use visuals. You know, one is storytelling through visuals, which has, I think, a lot to do with sequence. So it's not just this shot or that shot, but it's kind of a specific series of 5, 6, 7 shots that actually unfolds a little bit of a story within it. So that's one way to do it. You know, B-roll also has a lot to do with pacing and energy. You know, obviously quicker cuts tend to build energy, slower cuts tend to sort of lower, you know, kind of slow down the pace of things. You know, one of the things, honestly, that I found is that when you have music that's a little bit slower and B-roll and visuals that are sort of slower paced, it really helps, especially if you have to like really slice a story down for time. It helps kind of provide that slower, longer continuity. Do you know what I mean? So it doesn't feel quite so chopped up and quite so, you know, this happened, this and this and this and this. Without those things, it feels very disjointed. So I think pacing is probably a big part of how I make decisions, not only with music, but also with, you know, with visuals. Yeah, and I try to kind of keep the whole, most times the whole visual style, you know, whether it's color, whether it's pace, or whether it's, you know, how things look, kind of in a very connected, sort of stylized way in one story. Because I think if you jump a little bit too much, it takes you out of the story and becomes distracting. And I like longer shots. Unless, you know, you need to build it for energy and you've got tons of, you know, tons of stuff that needs to go in there. But maybe I'm just getting older and I don't want to have, you know, 20 cutaway shots in a 30-second, you know, spot. But I think in so many ways, a really beautiful visual to cut away, if it can help further the story, if it can help sort of, you know, I don't know, kind of almost, it's almost like painting, you know, if it can help bring something to life a little more, then it adds value to your story. So those are some of the things. We talk in the book a little bit too about juxtaposition, and this is getting a little bit more, kind of abstract. I don't know if we use this that much in church storytelling, but a lot of times if you put two things side by side, if you, you know, hear something in someone's story and then you see an image that's not the, you know, not the same thing they're talking about, but it's somewhat related, then I think, especially when you're talking about big concepts of like in a church, like forgiveness or, you know, God bringing his people out of bondage, you know, you can show visuals of that that aren't necessarily like on the nose, this is what we're talking about, but kind of build a visual landscape that, that lets people filter through what that story is about, but look at something beautiful. That's something we like to use too. So that's really technical, but I think, you know, with visuals, again, it really helps to be intentional. And I think I used to just shoot, just B-roll by the pound and just go get anything I could, you know, get my hands on. And I think as I've done this more and more, I really want to be kind of very intentional, visually speaking, and really kind of have, just like with music, have everything that we shoot kind of make sense and not be too much or not be too little. So that's a long way around answering that question, but that's some of the things that we think about with visuals and stories.
Awesome. Well, man, a couple other questions for you. So we've mainly been talking about how to tell stories through video, but walk me through some, maybe some other effective methods for sharing effective stories.
Yeah, I think especially in churches, you know, written stories are really effective. You know, they're great for social media. You know, if your church has a bulletin or worship folder or some sort of print piece or, you know, quarterly magazine or something, written stories are an awesome way to tell about what God's doing in your church. Photography, still photography. It's a lot easier to find folks that do, you know, still photography than it is someone who knows all things video and production. And we've used those in, you know, photo galleries, lobby displays, you know, all kinds of, you know, sort of still photography stories with written stories on top. And I think, too, audio stories, you know, podcasts, and audio storytelling is, we're sort of in a golden age of it. So, you know, if that's feasible for a church to just have some audio stories, again, they're much easier to capture just the audio than to sort of do filmmaking. And I think it's a really, you know, really, really effective way for someone to just share in a more kind of natural setting, in a more conversational setting without all of the lights and cameras, what God's done. So we've used all of those.
What are some resources that we can use to help us be better storytellers? Are there websites or different places that you go to pull resources to tell better stories with?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, my buddy Stephen Bush over at the Austin Stone Church in Austin, he's got a website called storyteam.org. They've had a large church-based story team for years and years and years. The church is fantastic at really caring for artists and also just esteeming people's stories in the local church. So storyteam.org is a great resource to look at, specifically not only filmmaking, but multi-platform storytelling, like we were just talking about with photography and writing and audio. They just sort of do it all. So that's been a great resource for us. I really love creativelive.com. They've got some great resources for video production. I really love, there's a guy named Alex Bloomberg, who used to be a producer with This American Life, and he's got, I think it's called Power Your Podcast Through Storytelling. Again, very, very smart, very applicable, I think, to churches. And that's, you know, been huge for us. And then we really like Muse Storytelling, which is at musestorytelling.org. Muse is great at kind of breaking down sort of, especially if you think more technically about, you know, stories of, you know, you do this and then this happens. I mean, they're real kind of, they just sort of break down the process in very easy to follow ways. And our team has found that super duper helpful.
All right, send us off here. What would you challenge us to do to become effective storytellers in our church?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you're just starting out, my challenge would be to just start capturing and telling stories. I think it's better to do it and be learning than to learn everything and not do anything. So I think it starts with, you know, being curious about people. A lot of times the things that you find fascinating in a story will be the things that are fascinating for your audience. And it's sort of like having kids. Like, don't wait until you're ready. You're never fully ready. And you're probably as ready as you're ever going to be. So if you've been thinking about doing this or if it's something that's new for you, it's great. You know, resources are great, but really at the end of the day, you have to kind of jump in and do it. And then I would say for seasoned storytellers, for people who've been doing this for a while, a couple of things, you know, my challenge would probably be mostly just keep moving forward. Whatever you can do to continue learning and continue improving. And this is, you know, a piece of advice I heard a couple of years ago from a friend of mine who's a cinematographer said. He said, make the distinction between what inspires you and what you compare yourself to, between inspiration and comparison. And what he said is you can be inspired by great filmmakers, by great cinematographers, by people who are just absolutely crushing what they're doing. But don't ever compare yourself to those people. Compare yourself to your previous self, if that makes any sense. So in other words, like, continue making progress. Continue being better this year than you were last year. And be inspired by anything. But don't compare yourself to someone who's out there doing a whole different thing. They're on their particular journey. You're on your journey. Do what it takes to continue improving and continue, you know, sort of making strides on your journey and becoming the storyteller that God created you to be.
Man, I think we can so get in that trap. I'm so guilty of that. To watch and see what other guys are doing and go, gosh, man, they're crushing it over there.
Yeah, I could never do that. And yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that's if the upside of having the internet and just having all these resources is that, you know, there's tons of things that we could be learning. I think the downside is like, oh dude, like I'll be real candid. Like I've watched two or three pieces, since the new year. I'm like, I don't think I ever want to make another movie after watching this thing, because it's so good, it's so smart, it's so just right what it needs to be. And I think again, it's a real discipline to watch that and be inspired by that and being like, oh, I love how they did that, and not get into that place of like, oh, you know, compared to that, I'm lousy.
Yeah.
You know, it's but if I watch something I did last year or 4 or 5 years ago, and look at my work now, I can see real strides. I can see improvement, and I can be like, okay, next year, I would love to be, you know, much, much better at this one aspect, whatever it is, if it's editing or if it's, you know, lighting or whatever. And again, it's, I think to actually get better, you stay in that lane, you know, and you get good ideas where you get, wherever you can find them, and good inspiration, whatever moves you forward. But at the end of the day, you know, you got to be you. And that's tough, but it's, yeah. I think it's essential.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how do you think we combat that? I mean, we're always going to be seeing other people's stuff, online, or seeing what another church does down the street or whatever. So what are the best ways to combat that, do you think, and to kind of make sure that we're staying in our lane or doing, you know, accepting what God is calling us to do, being on our own journey?
Yeah. Man, that's that's a big question. I think there is a spiritual component to it. I honestly do, as a creative person. I think it's having trust that God created me the way that he wanted to. And I know that might sound kind of Sunday schoolish, but I think, honestly, unless you genuinely lay hold of that and can find confidence in the way that you specifically were created, that you will always look to other to other people and how they're doing. And there's some great quote about, I'm going to screw it up probably, but it's comparison is the thief of joy, I think. Mm. It's not in the Bible. It probably could be. It's that good. But, you know what I mean? There really is nothing that like takes the air out of your balloon than comparing yourself to somebody who's just, you know, killing it. And again, you have no idea what that person had to go through. You know, they say like every overnight success is at least 10 years in the making. Mm-hmm. So especially in our line of work, it was never easy. So even if someone's killing it, like they've gone through all the hustle and the, you know, late nights and, you know, hard drives that won't work and lack of sleep that you have too. But I think you really have to trust that God knows what he's doing in making you and placing you where he's placed you. And so I think some of that for some people might just be spending time with the Lord, and specifically as a creative to say, you know, you created me, you thought me up, you placed me in this, you know, role for this season, for this time. What do you want me to know about how you created me? You know, what do you want to show me about who I am and how I'm specifically wired? And I think if you can connect with the Lord on that, it's less likely that you're going to be looking left and right. And again, it's not easy. You know, even if you pray, even if you hear from the Lord, I think it's still a challenge to live in your own skin, so to speak, especially as a creative. Because we like approval and we tend to be some of the more insecure people on planet Earth.
Yeah.
But I think if you can do that, I think that's the real advantage of knowing the Lord and being in creative work, and hopefully the advantage of being in a church where we're truly relying on God to sort of get us on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. So.
Good.
Again, long-winded way of answering that question.
No, it's all good, man.
It's something I have struggled every single day of my creative life.
Yeah,
feeling like you don't measure up. That just comes with the territory.
Yeah,
and I think you just get real with that, with God, and allow Him to, you know, to do His thing.
Yeah, so true, man. Well, thank you so much for sharing this with us today, man. It's so good. Especially for guys that are creating their own content in their churches and getting testimonials, building a story team. It's so beneficial. So thank you so much for sharing this content with us.
Absolutely. You bet, man.
Now, how can we follow you? Where can we pick up the book?
The book is available. The website is tellmorestories.co, like com without the M, tellmorestories.co. It's a free ebook, and we've got some other resources on there, some blog content, and then other ideas and resources, places to get music, places to get better at all kind of different aspects of storytelling. So that's where the book is. And then we also have a Church Storytellers Facebook page. Just hop on Facebook and type in Church Storytellers, and there we are. And we've got about, I haven't checked recently, but I think it's about 1,800 folks or so, in big churches and small churches. And we started that, our team started that about a year and a half ago, just to sort of start conversations like the one we've had today about what's, you know, hard, and what are you working on this week, and how can we help you, and, you know, here are some resources, you know, to make this easier, and, you know, what do you do when your senior pastor hands you a big old thing on Friday that has to be done by Sunday, and, you know, just real kind of, because, again, honestly, I mean, you said this several times, but, like, if you're creating your own original content, then you're in the trenches. And it's just, it's a lot of tough work. So we're in the trenches too. And so that's what that Facebook page is there for. So Church Storytellers, that's where you'll find me a lot of the time. And yeah, hopefully we, keep talking about this and get better at it and, find more joy in the creative work that we all do.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for your time today.
Absolutely, man.
This has been an All Access interview from 1230 Media. For more interviews, training, and exclusive content for your production team, visit 1230.media/training.
Does it not scare you at all to be a parent?
Nope. Okay, maybe a little bit.
We got this thing outnumbered. It's two grown-ups against one little bitty baby. We got this.
His name is Ronnie.
When it comes to raising kids, the days are long, but the years are short.
Short enough, if you ask me.
Tonight, we need to talk about Kate. She was, I guess, hitting other kids in church yesterday.
Okay, we'll talk about it.
Great. I'm so glad you're interested in your kids' lives. Honey, the only reason that Kate is still here is because she is too young to leave.
You know what? This is going nowhere.
Sit down!
Just leave me alone! And she's falling right after Ronnie.
Put me up sometime.
Bye, Mom.
Ronnie! We have two more coming up after her.
She's not your real mom anyway. Your real mom couldn't handle you.
And they're gonna follow right after her. Honey, we have got to get help.
Our kids aren't the problem. It's us, man. You can't run around living life one day at a time. You gotta know where you're going. Then lead.
Here we go.
And that will be your legacy.
No legacy of faithful love.
We just have to remember, our job is to be faithful. Change is up to God.
Like Arrows, a family life movie event. In select theaters, May 1st and May 3rd.
Hey guys, the Ministry Family Life is producing this new film, Like Arrows, with Alex and Stephen Kendrick, executive producing. I caught up with Alex, and we chatted about the film, which comes to theaters for two nights only, May 1st and May 3rd. So check out a little bit of my conversation with Alex.
Last year, Family Life, Bob Lapine, Dennis Ranney, came to my brothers and I and said, hey, we're going to do a video curriculum for parents called The Art of Parenting. And we began discussing how to best do that, and they asked for our help to produce six short videos, kind of dramatic videos, that would illustrate those aspects of parenting. As we began working on them, we realized that these six could be put together, linked together as a feature film. And so we shot it that way and got some great actors, and we tell a story of a couple from the moment they learn they're going to have their first child all the way to their 50th wedding anniversary, and their kids coming, their grandkids coming, and what that legacy might look like. They go through all the ups and downs of parenting, how to do things right, the common mistakes that parents might make, how to get their priorities in order, and they go through it, even adopting one of their children. even to having one of them as a prodigal that you know, runs off and they have to pray for him. And so many of the things that parents face are in the film, but it's so heartwarming. It's very funny, but the movie's called Like Arrows, and it comes from that proverb that talks about arrows being like children. You have them, a quiver full of them, and you pull them out to fire them, and you want to hit the target, and how a warrior might take an arrow, make sure it's sharp, make sure it's straight, and we'll hit the target, and that's what we need to be doing for our children, to make sure in life that we prepare them for the greatest trajectory, if I could say that, and to honor the Lord with what they do. So Like Arrows comes out in theaters on May the 1st and May the 3rd. It's a two-night event, May the 1st and May the 3rd, in about 800 theaters. And then the Art of Parenting curriculum can be done by your church, small groups after that. That covers a six-week course on all the details of parenting, and both were just a joy for us to work on.
Articles, archives, and resources for the show are all online for you. Just visit thechurchmediapodcast.com. That's thechurchmediapodcast.com. Click on episode 140, and all the magical glories of resources for your team await you.
On the next Church Media Podcast.
Next week on the show, we are starting our marathon month with ProPresenter guru Steve Dirks from Shandon Baptist Church. Steve will be dropping by the studio and sharing a deep dive into the world of ProPresenter. As I mentioned earlier, Steve will be our featured author on the 1230 blog the entire month of May. So we're doing two podcast episodes and five blog posts with Steve. So settle in. It's going to be an intensive training on ProPresenter. Be sure to start from the beginning next week. Our podcast is a production of the Ministry of 1230 Media. The producer of our show is the one, the only, David Michael Hyde. And thank you for listening this week. Go out there, guys, and create some incredible experiences this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Church Media Podcast.
Please take a minute today to rate and review the show in iTunes.
For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your team, visit thechurchmediapodcast.com. We'll catch you right here next week for another episode of the Church Media Podcast.